Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, folks. Glad you could join us for the Big Red Bench on this Saturday evening. Roy here with you right through until 7 p.m. with an hour of top sport coming your way over the next 60 minutes. Very, very busy show indeed. Reaction to come from a disappointing day in Talla, where Cork City were well beaten by Piemont United in the FAI Cup final. We'll have reaction from Cork City boss Ronan Collins, Stephanie Roach of Piemont, and we're going to hear from Andrew Horgan, who's covering the game for us today as well. Reaction from Cork's defeat to Limerick today in the Munster Minor Hurling Championship. We'll keep you up to date on the under 20 clash between the sides, which has gone to extra time. We're going to talk about the rise of Kerry Hurling, and we're going to preview the All-Ireland final between Waterford and Limerick as well. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. A lot to come over the next hour on the show. 0868104106 if you'd like to get in touch with us this evening. That is the number. It's also the number for our competition we have. With thanks to our friends at Supermax, we have a €25 voucher to give away for Supermax. You can visit supermax.ie, and all you have to do is text your name to 0868104106 on text or WhatsApp. And the answer to this very, very simple question: which two counties compete in tomorrow's All-Ireland Hurling Final? Which two counties contest tomorrow's All-Ireland Hurling Championship Final? 0868104106 is the place to send your texts or your WhatsApps, and be sure and add your name as well. We will draw out a winner for that Supermax voucher before the end of the show. That's with thanks to supermax.ie. Just a wrap up on all today's action. It finished 6-0 in Talla this afternoon as Piemont United were crowned FAI Cup champions against Cork City. 0-0 at half time. Piemont's strength showing in the second half as they went on to lift the cup. Disappointment for Cork City, but they will be back. An excellent young side there for the Rebel Army. In the Premier League, 32 minutes gone at Old Trafford. Still scores between Manchester United and Manchester City in the Manchester derby. Elsewhere today, Newcastle have beaten West Brom by 2-1. Stephen Goldsmith was there.
Newcastle 2, West Brom 1. The substitutes win the game for Newcastle. Jacob Murphy's cross from the right was met by Dwight Gale, whose header went in off the underside of the bar. Harsh, perhaps, on West Brom, who played well second half. They had levelled through a terrific Darnell Furlong goal, but if you concede 20-odd seconds into a game, you're always up against it. Almiron's goal setting an early tone. Newcastle 2, West Brom 1.
Elsewhere today, Aston Villa had a 1-0 win against Wolves. Alex Winter.
It's finished Wolves 0, Aston Villa 1. A lively, really watchable, keenly contested West Midlands derby has been won by Villa in stoppage time. McGinn brought down by Semedo, and the goal swept in by substitute El Ghazi from the penalty spot. Until then, it looked like Wolves were the more likely winners. He certainly had the clearest chances. Dendonka's volley from 8 yards out, brilliantly saved from Martinez diving to his left. An 18-year-old debutant Fabio Silva denied by the inside of the post. Both sides ended up with 10 men after second bookings as frustrations boiled over. But it's Villa who've stolen 3 points in this West Midlands derby. Wolves 0, Villa 1.
Everton and Chelsea is the late kick-off this evening. That is an 8 o'clock start. Elsewhere today in Gaelic games, disappointment for the Cork Miners as they were beaten by Limerick today, 219 to 13 points is how it finished. Adam English with 2 goals in 30 seconds just before half-time, and that really killed the game off. Extra time has just gotten underway between Cork and Limerick in the under 20 championship. It finished Cork 1-14, Limerick 17 points at the end of the hour, so they're gone into time or extra time there. Elsewhere, the Camogie final taking place tonight in Croke Park. 7 o'clock kickoff time for that. And one will be going live to Valerie Wheeler, who's in Croke Park, in just a little bit. But here's her report from there.
The stage is set and the lights are on. It's the Liberty Insurance All-Ireland Senior Camogie Championship Final. A unique and different setting for all here in Croke Park. Defending champions Galway are on the hunt to make it 2 in a row for the first time in history. Kilkenny, however, have 3 consecutive final defeats. Of their previous 6 final appearances, they've only won once. The Cats were the first team to book themselves into the final after a 2-point victory over Cork in the first semi-final. They will face the reigning champions Galway, who showcase both their attacking strength and their defensive stability in their semi-final victory over Tipperary. An early Christmas present is up for grabs here in Croke Park, and that's the O'Duffy Cup. With a 7pm throw-in under lights for the first time ever, it's a repeat of last year's showdown. It's Galway and Kilkenny in the All-Ireland Camogie final.
Should be an absolute cracker. That one starts at 7. We'll talk to Valerie on that one in a little bit. In rugby, and Leinster getting their Champions Cup campaign underway this evening. They are taking on Montpellier. 34 minutes on the clock. It's Leinster who lead by 13-6. Cork have gotten the opening score in extra time, so it's now Cork 1-15, Limerick 17. We'll keep you up to date on that one. And a big fight tonight as well. Anthony Joshua back in the ring for his first fight in over a year. His first world heavyweight titles, on the line. He takes on Kubrat Pulev at Wembley Arena. They had a bit of a heated exchange during yesterday's weigh-in. Certainly had plenty of words to say to each other. Should be a testy one tonight. He'll be in the ring roughly about 10 o'clock this evening. So really looking forward to that scrap tonight. All right, we'll kick off the show though with Cork City's FAI Cup disappointment today. Losing to Piemont United. 6-0 was how it finished in the end. In Talla Stadium today, harsh on Cork City. They were scoreless at half time and worked very, very hard indeed. But Stephanie Roach scoring twice early on in the second half, and it was hard for City to come back from that. We're going to hear from Stephanie Roach in a bit. Andrew Horgan covered the game for us. We'll get his analysis and his thoughts on that shortly. First up, though, going to hear from a very, very disappointed Cork City boss, Ronan Collins.
So, Ronan, commiserations on defeat. Just in reflection, what are your thoughts on the game?
Tough game to have thoughts on right now. Thought we were really good in the first half. Thought we set up well. We had them on there playing out a bit. They had their press. We knew they were going to try it. We had a way of playing around it. So I think we can be really happy with that part, but it's a game of two halves, and you've got to do it for two halves. And obviously, I think we've let that early goal affect us in the second half. And we're young, so that's the next learning curve, is how we react in those situations. That's the reflections as they are now.
Yeah, it's just, we mentioned before, let's say during the season, that you're usually quite good at reacting to a setback. So it was obviously kind of two setbacks at the beginning of the second half that really was the difference.
Yeah, well, like, one thing we knew going in today is we had to go play. I think we've done that in the first half. But when you have maybe a moment like that, and two quick moments, I suppose, puts a lot of pressure on people in certain positions to go play as well. And we can understand that, but we need to drive on with that bravery moving forward. And do you know, this season's been a stepping curve on that. Like, it's been huge progress made. But as we said, we're on a journey. We got to a point today. I think it's a good point in the road, but definitely it shows us the more work and learning we have to grow on.
Yeah, because obviously the scoreline seems very harsh at the moment. Like, it wasn't a 6-0 game really, and obviously they got 4 late goals. Just really added a bit of disappointment for you, I suppose.
Yeah, it does. But you know, I think we got to focus on that first half. I thought we were really good first, and I think if you can double that up, you're going to cause them real problems. And they're a really good team. They're a really good team, and we know that. And that start of the year, you're looking at, that's the team to beat and set as the standard bearer. So they set a standard today, all right, but first half I think we showed what we can do against them, so we need to build on that moving forward.
Yeah, because like, that's obviously their third final in a row, and they were going for a double. So again, there was they beat you twice in the season as well, so they're obviously a very good side, and I suppose it's important for you not to lose too much hair now.
Yeah, out of six halves, we've kept them scoreless for one in each game. It's the other half we've got to worry about. So it's really, I suppose, a bit of time now to take a break, and heads down, and we go and solve that now.
And again, just obviously, like, it's such a young squad, it's a bit disappointing defeat, but like, how much experience can they take from all of this and learn from it?
Oh, what experience for the year, but this week in particular, everyone's been great with us, and the girls have really taken a lot from that, so it's going to really stand to them. But what is important is you got to push on from here, and I think it still shows the amount of work we have to done. So not to steal a political term or something, a lot done but more to do.
Yeah, it's something probably in the next days and weeks that you'll obviously reflect, and again, to a cup final is a great achievement, and again, finishing top four as well. So like, it may hurt now, but obviously you've had a very good season.
Yeah, I think you just summed it up well there, Andrew. It hurts now, but in reflection, I think there is a hell of a lot we can take out of it. It's been a terrific season, but we're not happy with terrific. We want to build on that and we want to go further. So next year, books are wiped clean again. We put the head down and work and we see where we can drive to.
Yeah, good words there from Cork City boss Roland Collins after today's defeat to Piemont United, and the woman who started Piemont's victory today, the woman who scored two quick goals in the start of the second half, was Stephanie Roche. Going to hear from her, and then we're going to hear from a cold Andrew Horgan who's waiting on the line. But first, here's Stephanie Roche.
Dundalk playing in the Aviva the other day, and I thought the pitch was an invasion. In fairness to Palace Stadium, they have this pitch in immaculate condition. I thought I'd need studs on my feet, but I didn't need it in the first half, so I decided to change boots, and it must have worked.
tell us about it. Cork hassled, harried you all over the place at first half. You couldn't get on your passing pattern at all.
Yeah, I think we knew that was going to be the case, and I think it was always going to be a little bit of a slow start in terms of us making sure. I think whoever scored first was going to win. I think if they had scored first, it would have made it really hard for us. So I think maybe we were a little bit cautious and didn't play our game the way we knew we should. We came in at half time, James had a good chat with us, and we knew once we scored, we knew it would flow, but we just had to kind of create a few more chances, and thankfully we did, and we managed to get the goals.
Obviously the goal came early, but it just seemed that you freed yourselves up.
Yeah, definitely. As I said, Cork are a very well organised team. The manager has to play in the right way. They've got good individual players, so we knew if we gave them a chance and they scored, they'd sit in and make it hard for us to come into it. So we kind of, as I said, it was a cagey first half a little bit, as a cup final always is, but second half I think we showed our quality with the players we have, and we got the goals we needed to win it.
Was there much talk in the week about the two previous cup finals, because a lot of these players would have played them?
Yeah, I think there's an ongoing joke before Karen over there, and just delighted to win today. But yeah, look, I think that would have always been in the back of players' minds. And but again, I think we played good football all season. Even when we went down against Shelburne, we came back and we won. So I think we always believed that we'd score and we'd create chances, and it was just about finishing them off, and we did. And that happened.
We just heard from Ronan Collins, and we heard from Stephanie Roche there. But for more on the game, we go to a bitterly cold Andrew Horgan, who's in Talla. And I don't know where to start with that game, Andrew. Nil all at half time. In fairness, Piemont were the better side in the first half, but six goals in the second half, nobody could see that coming, and you just can't live with the side when they played that well.
No, absolutely not. And I said it was a good first half by Cork City. They pressed Piemont all over the park and didn't really give them a sniff of goal at all, to be honest. And then 50 seconds into the second half, and Stephanie Roche, obviously well-known player, Ireland, Republic of Ireland striker, and Puskas Award nominee, wasn't it, for the goal in 2014, and she just had a sight of goal in the box beginning of the second half, and she found a far corner, and it just completely changed the complexion of the game, and she scored again. I think it was just over 5 minutes later, and then fairness to Cork City, they tried till the end and gave it everything, but conceded four goals in the last 15 minutes, and obviously it just was a bitter disappointment day in the end.
Yeah, was it a case of the City heads dropping just after that Stephanie Roche double?
Yeah, I mean, I said, like, they had a chance with Christina Dream just before the hour mark, and you know, if that goes in, it's obviously a cliche, but a completely different game then at 2-1. Fairness to Stephanie as well, she was very complimentary. Cork City as well said, even if they went ahead, so say they had a chance in the first half, if they took it and went ahead, could have been a completely different game. And but unfortunately, when it was 2-0 down, and they were always kind of underdogs going into the game, and once it went to 2-0, it kind of did look like it was pretty much game over. And then I said it's just a disappointment that ended that way for them, because they didn't really deserve that at the end of, I said, a really good effort today, and just in general over the season they've been very good.
Yeah, they have been. Yeah, just, I mean, like, I suppose, like, they finished fourth in the league up to the cup final. There's signs of progression all over the place at that club, so they are going in the right direction.
Yeah, and as I said, they're a very young team as well. Like, just getting to this final is going to be a great experience, a great learning curve for them, but unfortunately, it ended incredibly disappointingly for them as well. So the thing is, you hope that from what they've done this season, they have progressed, and they've shown they've had a lot of great wins. I think one stage they won six league games in a row, and I think there were seven wins in a row in all competitions. So they've obviously shown signs of progress under Ronan this year compared to, say, where they were maybe even a couple of years ago. So they are going in the right direction. Just hope you can keep most of them together, and there's no doubt they'll be back on this stage again in the near future. And I said hopefully it's next year, but no doubt in the coming years they'll be back again.
Yeah, fingers crossed. There were some good performances from City today. Zara Foley had a very good game at right back.
Yeah, and it said once Stephanie Roche scored twice and she set up a goal, she was always going to be named player of the match, and I suppose with conceding six it was going to be hard to give it to a defender for Cork City. But yeah, Zara Foley was incredible. I thought Becky Casson as well in midfield was very good. Lauren Igbalani was very good for the hour she played, and I said there were some good City, some good Cork City performances, sorry, the cold getting to me now again, but as well, Maria O'Sullivan in goal as well made a few great saves, and again, those type of things is like they shouldn't be forgotten about. Obviously, the scoreline looks very bad, but there was some positives to take from this, and definitely a lot of positives to take throughout the season and in the cup run in general. And I said, hopefully, they can just build on that going forward.
All right, Andrew, let's get back to the warmth of your car there.
Yeah, absolutely. I must get a couple of berries now, I say, somewhere, hopefully.
Probably all Lions in Dublin, keep your fingers crossed to get the berries. All right, Andrew.
Yeah, I'll have to race home.
Thanks for that, Andrew. Appreciate it.
No bother. Thanks very much.
It's Andrew Horgan there reporting from a bitterly cold Tallaght Stadium this evening as Cork City were unfortunately beaten quite heavily by Piedmont United in the cup, but as Andrew said, positives to take from that game and I suppose from their season as a whole. It's approaching half time in extra time. Cork leading Limerick 121 to 19 points, and scores to Manchester United and Manchester City approaching half time there at Old Trafford. But it is to Croke Park we go, where Valerie Wheeler is probably freezing in Croke Park, like Andrew's freezing in Tallaght, ahead of the All-Ireland Camogie Final, which is getting underway in just about 45 minutes time. Valerie, is it as cold as Andrew was in Tallaght?
Do you know what? I don't think it is as cold just yet. I'm extremely wrapped up. Well, I don't think I could have had any more layers on if I tried. I'm kind of like the Michelin man at the moment. I have so much layers on me between hats, scarves, and headbands, and face masks, and tights, and pants. So I'm doing okay. I'm doing fine.
All right, you're there for the All Ireland Camogie Final tonight, getting underway. As I said, 7 o'clock. Kilkenny and Galway going head to head in what should be an absolute cracker.
Yeah, do you know what? The pitch looks absolutely immaculate here, Rory. I think looking out on it, everyone's really excited for tonight. It's probably going to be a historic occasion because it's the first time the Camogie Final has ever been played under lights, and it's a strange throw-in time of 7 o'clock in the evening. But you know what? It probably gives Camogie a chance to have their own time to themselves, because if you were to put it in any other time over the next couple of weeks, it could just get lost. And I think they do deserve the, you know, the viewership and the listenership that they deserve here tonight, because they have worked hard, and I do think the two best teams are in the final.
Yeah, prime time viewing as well, so there should be a lot of eyes on that match tonight when it throws in at 7 p.m. Galway going in as reigning champions, the Cats losing 5 of the last 7 finals. Galway going into the game as favourites, but it should be very, very close.
Look, yeah, it should be very, very close. And I do think that Galway just have that bit of an edge. If you do look at Galway's panel, Rory, like, you know, they have players on the bench that should be starting. And it's great to have that. And as a manager and as a selector, I think having that headache is going to be amazing heading into an All-Ireland final, when you know that you've such a depth of a bench to be able to bring on. But they are defending champions, and that too puts a lot of pressure on them. You know, they've never, ever done it. They've only won it 3 times ever. So this would be a fourth, and it would be a 2 in a row. So will the pressure of that maybe kind of stop them from it? But Kilkenny, on the other hand, you know, they've had 3 consecutive final defeats, and I just think that's very tough. They keep coming back every year, and of the previous 6 final appearances that they've had, they've only won 1 over the last 6 years. So that's going to be playing on their minds as well. You know, the Cats did look great against Cork. They had a 2-point victory over them in the semi-final, and but then again, Galway, you know what, they showcased how much strength and they had in their, like, in their defensive attack in the semi-final over victory over Tipperary. So it's just going to be an amazing game, and I really can't wait for it. I'm absolutely delighted to be up here, and I don't care how cold I'll be. I just hope it's going to be a great game. And like this time of year, it's the 12th of December, we're talking about All-Ireland finals. Who would have thought at the start of the year? But look, the GAA and the Camogie have been so good, and they've got us here, and they've got everyone here safely, and it's going to be a great game.
Yeah, they deserve a lot of credit for that. Half time and extra time, Cork leading Limerick 122 to 19 points, 6-point lead for Cork going into the second half. Fingers crossed they can see that one out. The Cork Miners didn't see it out though against Limerick earlier on today. Valerie, game you were at this afternoon, Limerick winning 219 to 13 points, and it was those 2 goals from Adam English that really did the damage.
Yeah, no, it was. And to be honest, like, Cork did get off to a great start. You know, I did think they looked well. Like Ben Cunningham, you know, they were Limerick were giving away a stupid and silly freeze, so it was a freeze that from Limerick that kept Cork in it. But they did have a good start, and they came back then after the water break, and they had about 4 quick fiery points, and then the goals came, and Adam English squished 2 goals in 30 seconds, and they were, you know, they could have been stoppable goals as well, Rory, to be honest. You know, it was just the defence kind of just didn't really set up properly enough. But it's do you know what, it's hard. These lads are only 16 and 17, and I think it's very hard for them to, I think everyone's in the same boat. They didn't really have much preparation time when you think about it. You know, these lads played Clare weeks and months ago, and then lockdown, the second lockdown happened, and they were left sitting at home then going, what do we do? And I just think, like, the background team as well, like, you, everyone knows and looks at that background team and thinks, wow, look at who they have on their side. But it just wasn't to be on today, unfortunately, from those two goals. And I must say, Limerick were, you know, they were really good today, Rory. I was so impressed with them. Like, they were just, you know, their strength and their physicality. And you can just tell that Limerick now have the perfect setup for the underage coming through. You know, they have these academies and they're obviously working them up. And, like, you can see that. You can see that Limerick, the future of Limerick hurling is going to be in very safe hands. And it's unfortunate that when you look at Cork now, and our seniors are falling at the last hurdle, and, you know, our minors aren't really getting there either. It just doesn't look great for Cork hurling, you know, when you're looking at other counties bringing them up so well. So let's just hope that Cork could get that right factor, you know, and try and get that. Also, Rory, I don't know if you know this, but I think at the start of the year, this minor panel had 140 lads lined up for the panel.
Yeah. That's
huge. They whittled it down to like 30 and 40 players. I was reading it during the week, and it's just then, and also, you know, they had to leave some players at home. You'll hear, I was talking to Bobby Dwyer as well, you have to leave some minors at home because there's such a big panel of them, you can only bring 36, so they've, you know, odd 40 of them, so there's still players being left at home, so that too was difficult for them. But they're only 16, 17, you know, there's plenty of lads that have the ability to, you know, just get back and work at it. And maybe if they had a full year of preparations and no COVID, that they could do a bit better, you know. But there is, like, Ben Cunningham is unbelievable. He had 7 points today to his name. Like, he was just so impressive. But I think just the biggest downfall is no points in play. Like, 2 points in play in a full game just isn't good enough, unfortunately.
Dunlow Cusack was a high profile appointment when it was announced that he was going to take charge of the minors, and it ends in disappointment for him.
Yeah, do you know what? And I don't think, like, I know he was disappointed afterwards when I spoke to him, you know, because it's his probably first coaching, you know, taken off on his own to do it. And for you to kind of end on that bad note, it's just not great for him. You know, if you went in there as a coach, Rory, and that was your end, you'd be like, oh God, I just wanted it to go well for me, even if they could reach the Munster final. But, you know, he only had a 1 year term, and that's it for him now. And, like, who knows what's going to happen next for him. You know, I did ask him, would he like to continue and come back? But he kind of avoided the question, to be honest. He just was like, I'm just going to not answer this. Because who knows what's lined up for him, you know? Who knows who has him in the eye? Or maybe he'll go goal coach keeping or coaching. You just don't know. You just don't know.
All right, we're going to hear from him in a bit. It's Cork 123, Limerick 20 points now with 2 minutes gone in extra time. Very finally, Valerie, who's going to win the Camogie tonight?
Oh, God, you're putting me on the spot
here. A little bit, yeah.
I do think Galway. Galway just have too much now. I could be eating my words in a couple of hours' time, but I do just think Galway have the edge. They have the panel. They have the experience. They're just very cool and calm on the ball now. They're really enjoying playing Camogie. You can just see them out there, and they're just enjoying the game. And I think when you kind of forget about maybe what's on the line and just enjoy playing, and you're good at it, I think that, you know, I do think it's Galway's, unfortunately, for poor old Kilkenny. And I don't think they deserve the defeat either, because when you keep coming back every year, and this will be their fourth defeat in a row if that happens, Rory. So I don't know. Part of me wants them to win as well, but I do think it's a Galway win.
All right, we'll see how it goes. We'll have reaction on tomorrow evening's show. Anyway, all right, Valerie, thanks for that. Enjoy the game.
Cheers, Rory. Thanks.
It's Valerie Wheeler live in Croke Park for tonight's Camogie final. We'll have reaction from Valerie on tomorrow evening's show. It's half time at Old Trafford, and we're going to hear now from Darren Stanage with his half time report.
Manchester United 0, City 0. City the best chance of the half just after the half hour mark. Mahrez arrived at the end of a really good counter attack. His shot though saved. De Bruyne fired it over. Sterling and Jesus had a couple of chances they should have done better with. At the other end, United have gone close from a couple of corners but haven't forced Edison into a save. Not able to capitalise when the City keeper made a poor clearance. Pogba's effort was deflected over. All square then at the break here at Old Trafford. It's United 0, City 0.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, going to hear from Dunlow Cusack.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Thank you for joining us on the Big Red Bench on this Saturday evening. It's Cork 126, Limerick 21 points, with just about 2 minutes left to go in extra time there, not under 20 championship, Munster Championship clash. So looking good for Pat Ryan's side there. Fingers crossed the Rebels can hold out and see that out, but they're looking very, very good indeed. They've just added another score, so it's 127 to 21 points. So Cork looking very, 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 very good there indeed. Second half just about to get underway at Old Trafford, where Manchester United and Manchester City is scoreless. Everton and Chelsea is the kickoff, 8 o'clock for that one. Our competition on the show tonight, a €25 voucher to give away with thanks to our friends at Supermax. To enter the competition, all you have to do is text or WhatsApp to 086 8104 106, your name and the answer to this simple question: which two counties compete in tomorrow's All-Ireland Hurling Final? Which two counties compete in tomorrow's All-Ireland Hurling Final? 086 8104 106. We'll draw out the winners just before 7pm this evening, just before Stevie G takes over for the evening. Alright, back to that Cork and Limerick minor game that we were talking to Valerie about just before the break. Limerick winning 219 to Cork's 13 points. Adam English with both goals for Limerick today. Going to hear from the Cork boss Donal Cusack chatting to Valerie and the Assemble Media.
Yeah, really disappointing. We're just everybody associated with the group is very, very disappointed. We invested a lot of time, the players, parents have invested a lot of time, all of those things, but Limerick were the better team by far. You could point maybe to the chances that we had. Limerick goalkeeper made a couple of great saves, and maybe there was a swing that they got a couple of goals, but I wouldn't dream of going there. Limerick were by far the better team, definitely, and we're just extremely disappointed.
Those two goals are obviously a huge swing in the game. Obviously, it's going to give them confidence, and probably was a blow for your guys.
It was a swing, but again, I wouldn't. I think that Limerick were ahead of us by even a lot more than that, to be honest, on the day. So whilst you are correct that was a swing, and you know, you can always point individual moments, Michael, but at that stage we'd be maybe grasping at straws. As I said, Limerick were fully deserving of the win, and were better than us, much better than us on the day.
Did you find it challenging maybe to unload, to have such a short spell of time to prepare yourselves?
I didn't think it was, and it's sure everybody's in the same boat. I didn't think it was a challenge at all. I thought it was, to be honest, was one of the brighter things in life over the last while, being able to be involved in hurling, being able to train and do your best. And so I wouldn't see it as a challenge at all, and that was one of the things that, you know, would keep everybody going over the last while, both players and management. So again, definitely not.
Probably just 3 scores
in
play, was that disappointing?
Yeah, I think, look, we'd have a long list now if we started listing out the disappointing things, to be honest. And that's the way the game goes then, and the, you know, the whole momentum and so on just swings from you. And it was definitely one of those days then that you felt the way the game was going, that was there anything going to go your way. But it's the third time I've said it, I wouldn't take anything away from Limerick. They were by far the better team. It's just it's really disappointing for us. It's disappointing for, I'm as much disappointed for the lads themselves as anybody, for Cork players, and disappointed for the management, it's one now that's going to take us a while to digest, to be honest, because we had invested a lot in the lads. Yeah.
Besides the disappointment, Donald, were you happy to be involved in the setup this year? I'm sure you'd like to return next year.
Well, sure, look, I'm a Cork person, been in this ground many days, have seen good days, seen great days, great memories, and not so great memories, and I was just happy to, like everybody else, busy, plenty of stuff going on, but very happy to put the shoulder to the wheel and do your best for these young lads when I was invited to do so.
Yeah, stunned like Cusack there, and as Valerie said, not really committing whether or not he'd be back for next year, but disappointing for the Hurlers today, losing out to Limerick. The under 20 Hurlers though going much better against Limerick today. They lead 229-21 points, time almost up there, and Brian Hayes with Cork's second goal there, so that's going to be a very, very good win indeed for the Rebels. And the team's back out on the pitch at Old Trafford. Manchester United and Manchester City is scoreless. Going to hear from the Limerick boss Dermot Mullen speaking to Valerie.
Dermot, first of all, you must be very happy with that performance.
Yeah, very happy with how we performed. Look, we were a little bit unsure coming into the game exactly where we are, the same with all the teams. I suppose Cork had the benefit of playing a game, but I think, you know, we have a good bunch, and the biggest thing I think in terms of the bunch is their work rate is fantastic, and I suppose that's just come down from how the senior team are playing, how the under 20s team are playing. You know, we want to play a particular way, and I thought our setup was good as well, so we'd done a little bit of homework on how Cork could play, and thankfully things worked out, but that mightn't be always the case. You know, we're really proud of how all the lads played.
Was the goals the turning point?
I thought we were in the game before that, but obviously to get two goals just before half time, Adam did really well to put them away, but again they came from really hard work out the field. But I think it wasn't one or two individual scores, it was really a squad effort, and everybody working really, really hard, and that's the most pleasing thing about today.
Speak to us about Adam English. I mean, he's a phenomenal player and he showed it there today.
Adam's a really good player. He was with us last year and played really well, but I think the biggest compliment I could play Adam is, like, he's a great leader. He's very humble about the ability that he has, and he's a really bright future, I think, with Doon and with the county hopefully as well. But he's a great guy, and you know, when we were looking at who we're going to have captain for the year, it's an obvious player in terms of Adam, and it's just been brilliant, you know.
Speaking of a solid player, I think Tomás inside in goals is certainly solid. Be plenty of saves, and oh my god, what a display of saves he put on.
Yeah, Tomás has been great all year, and Mike Sheehan as well. The two of them have really been, it's very hard to pick a goalie, particularly when we've had so little collective training, so there's not much between them. But Tomás again is really, really good lad, and plays outfield for Doon at certain levels, but he's been great now and really showed maturity there today, and the lads in front of him defended really well as well, you know.
How did you find the experience today? No crowds, no, the boys obviously didn't mind.
Yeah, it's different, you know, there's no point in saying it, but look, we're just really, really happy that we're getting the opportunity to play, and look, even if we hadn't been successful today, we still would have been delighted that the lads have had that opportunity, and you know, they've worked so hard. 15 months ago we got started to this, and they've really worked hard, and look, the main thing for us is, regardless of whether we win or lose, that we're producing players going forward, and hopefully from today's group we'll get a number of players out of that, you know.
That's Limerick boss Dermot Mullins there in conversation with Valerie after their win over Cork in the minor championship this evening, or this afternoon I should say. Limerick 219, Cork 13 points was how that finished. The Cork under 20s though victorious against Limerick, and what a win this is. It finished Cork 229, Limerick 21 points, a 14 point win for the Rebels after extra time, whenever Pat Ryan said to his players at the break at the end of the 60 minutes, obviously worked because Cork were sensational in that second half, or in that extra time I should say. So a 14 point win after extra time for the Rebels. Manchester United have just been awarded a penalty against Manchester City. Marcus Rashford fouled in the box, looks in some discomfort, but the referee pointing to the spot, so waiting for that penalty to be taken. They're just checking for offside. It looks like VAR will take this back for an offside in the build up from Marcus Rashford. Just going to see what the decision is there, but not a great game from what I've been able to watch so far in that game, but it looks like Marcus Rashford is just offside. VAR having a look at this, they're checking the penalty, and this could go on for 4 days. Yeah, it looks like Marcus Rashford is indeed offside, so it looks like that penalty will not be given. Alright, we're going to stick with hurling, and it's a big day for Kerry tomorrow as they face Antrim in the John McDonagh Cup final. I've been speaking to the Big Red Bench's own Kerry hurling fanatic Aidan Leahy about the rise in hurling in the kingdom and how everyone in Kerry is feeling ahead of such a massive game tomorrow.
That tough championship has kind of worked well for the Kerry hurlers this year, and they hit the ground running well. They're certainly playing well, and I think the championship stood to them. A lot of the players getting those few games for their clubs as well.
So the only initiated, I guess, when you look at, you say Kerry, they're in the John McDonagh Cup final, kind of go, wait a second, but Kerry hurling has been building and building over the last number of years.
Yeah, and I think they've almost gone hand in hand with Antrim as well over the last couple of years. Like, there's a bit of a fierce rivalry building up, and I even noticed it myself watching the games now. I'm kind of getting sick of the sight of them. But it's great for this level of hurling to have two teams like Kerry and Antrim forming that rivalry. They are kind of the benchmark now for the Joe McDonagh series and for those teams. Like, you look at Carlow and stuff like that. Offaly couldn't compete with them last year. Like, Kerry sent Offaly down to the Christy Ring last year, which was made massive waves and like really hit home to Offaly how far off the pace they've fallen. This for Kerry, like they beat Antrim in 2015 to get into Division 1B, and there's quite a few players still on the panel from that. Like, you've the Boyle brothers, Mikey and Podge, Shane Nolan, Daniel Collins, Brian Murphy was the captain. They're all surviving members of that squad. So this, over the last 5 or 6 years, Kerry and Antrim have really been close and fighting it out for, I suppose, what is only basically one spot that's available for them, you know.
So what was the catalyst, I suppose, for the improvement in Kerry hurling over the last years? Obviously, Kerry traditionally a football county, but as I mentioned, the hurlers going great guns the last couple of years, always progressing. So what was the catalyst for that? Where did it all start?
Well, like, we have 7 consistent senior clubs, and a big part of it was getting in. You know, we've had a lot of management from outside the county over the last 10 years. Fintan O'Connor has brought in, well, I think Brendan Cummins was there before Fintan, but someone like him to come into Kerry hurling, like bringing that knowledge from all of his experience and background in hurling. And Fintan is obviously doing a very good job with these guys over the last couple of years. And there's so many good young players. Like, obviously, the obvious standout one is Shane Conway. And watching him, you have to laugh sometimes. I remember texting the lads watching it, like, you can't believe this guy plays hurling for Kerry with some of the scores he pulls off. Like, it's like watching someone that, you know, if he was wearing a Cork jersey or a Limerick jersey or a Kilkenny jersey, he would not look out of place. And players like him have really driven it on. Like, the club game has gotten stronger. Our teams have started to make the latter stages of the Munster Club Championship more often. Kilmoyle being the obvious one. They lost to Lismore 3 or 4 years ago. The two Shannons, in fairness, caused wreck that day. That was in Mallow. And Ballyduff as well, a couple of years before that, have gotten to Munster Club Finals. But it's just, hurling has always been, we've always been kind of us against the rest of the county in North Kerry, like, because there's a lot of just hurling only clubs.
Yeah.
So I think that has fed into it. Like, I look at the numbers of my own club from under 10 down, like, they're just starting to grow and grow and grow. So I think it bodes well for the future. I think it's only going to get better anyway. And this could really elevate it. But I think whether Kerry win or not this weekend, they will win the Joe McDonagh Cup eventually, whether it's this year, next year, or the year after, because it is a steady curve that we're on at the moment.
Fintan O'Connor is the man in charge of Kerry. What's he brought to the table?
Well, he was on Derek McGrath's backroom team with Waterford, so he has that experience at the top level of intercounty, and he's brought in a couple of local guys as well on his selectors, like Eamon Fitzgerald from Causeway, who's been in and around county setups for the last couple of years, Sean Mansell, a Kilmoyle man, and they're important to it's important to have those guys that know all of the players, you know, playing all the ways up, and if there's any issues, they can sort them out themselves. They can make sure they get, if there's a fella who's not too keen on playing county hurling, maybe he just wants to play club hurling, doesn't want to put in that, you know, that big commitment to a county panel, they're the guys that can sweet talk a fella onto a panel. And you can kind of see they brought on the two O'Connor brothers from Kilmoyle late on this year, and you have to imagine that the influence of the selectors like Sean Mansell from Kilmoyle was huge in bringing them on board, because they weren't there for the league final. And bear in mind, Kilmoyle had just won the county championship maybe 3 weeks before that, so maybe they were still in celebratory mode. But those two players, Paddy and Morris Connor, they were influential in Kilmoyle winning that championship this year. They're two very good players. Paddy is super in the midfield. He's kind of like our own Jamie Barron. Just digs in every time there's a tussle. Paddy's going to come out with the ball, and his range of passing is super as well. He showed that up in Antrim in the round game they played. I think it was round 3 they played Antrim there a couple of weeks ago, and only for him, it could have been a much different game. Like Antrim pulled away early, but Kerry had a very good second half, and it shows that if they can just start well on Sunday, like they have the beat, they're well able to stay with Antrim. They have the beating of them if they can just tighten up on the defence.
There's a huge prize on offer this weekend as well, Aidan, because the winners go straight into the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship, given the year that it was, with COVID rules are tweaked, and it's a huge prize now for the winners of this game. I mean, like, has the enormity of that kind of gripped the Kerry, I suppose, sporting public?
Well, Kerry were in the round robin for the Leinster before the Joe McDonagh was formed. So it wouldn't be a first, but Kerry never really got to play the likes of Kilkenny or Wexford or anything like that. And the way it was set up, I mean, it really does feel like it's set up against Kerry, because in a normal year, Kerry would have to play a relegation playoff with the bottom Munster team.
Yeah.
And I mean, last year, that was Waterford, I think. So, and like, they're in an All-Ireland final, like, yeah, an hour after the boys this weekend. So, but this year, the fact that they would get to go in straight into Leinster would make a good case for going forward, asking the question, can Kerry be in with Munster, like, and compete with these boys? On a normal year, I believe they would go into a playoff for a quarter final, which was what Laois did last year when they won it, and they beat Dublin, which was huge for them, and just showed, I think the GAA were very happy when that happened, because it showed how big this competition Joe McDonagh can be. So that, like, for Kerry to get into Leinster and to be able to mix it with the big boys, like, to, like, I know it, in a way it's like you would get a bigger crowd, obviously, if they were in Munster Championship.
Yeah.
Like, I would much rather go to Páirc Uí Chaoimh than Tullamore.
Yeah.
Even if the scoreline might be a bit more scary in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. But having said that, like, if Kerry were to play Kilkenny in Nolan Park, you can be sure there'd be a convoy leaving Kerry, and hopefully at that stage crowd to be back. But you can be sure there'd be a convoy leaving Kerry to go to Nolan Park to see that. So it's huge.
Is there a buzz in Kerry about this game, Aidan?
There is. North Kerry is buzzing, and it's starting to seep through now to the bit more of the football community as well. And in fairness, there is a the media, like Radio Kerry, the Kerry Sports Hub down here, they are really drumming it up, and they've done well in promoting this. There's flags out everywhere, there's signs being made by all the clubs wishing all their players well. And even in Tralee now, there's flags coming up, and Tralee have a representative on the panel, Tighe Brick, Tralee Parnell's man. I actually played with him myself. We were joined up in 2017 for minor Abby Dorney and Tralee Parnell's. He's a very good player. He's a bit young yet. I doubt he'll feature, like, but he was actually playing against Cork in the under-20 game there not too long ago, if anyone would have seen that. Super player, and that's a sign, like, how much Kerry hurling is starting to improve and to grow, like having a Tralee Parnell's man club that was formed not even 10 years ago. So that's huge. But yeah, it really, everyone is kind of talking about it, everyone's excited for it, and the fact that it's on TV proper and not on a stream, even though the streams have been doing very well and it's been great, the streams have fed into it a bit, because there's been way more access to games than before. But the fact it's on TV now, like, you would hope every GAA fan in Kerry is going to tune into this.
Are you confident about the game, Aidan?
Well, they've played three times this year, and Antrim are 3-0 against Kerry this year. It will be very tough. I think they can definitely pull it off, like, and there's definitely a confidence within the group that they have the ability to do it. Brian Murphy was speaking to GAA.ie there, I just saw it last night, and they are definitely confident that they can do it, but it will come down to, can they stop Antrim's forwards? And Antrim's forwards have been electric, and you can even see just the first half against Kerry in the normal round three game, like, Michael Bradley, Conor McCann, Kieran Clark are three huge threats for Kerry to deal with. So if they can deal with them, like, the full back line, Brian Murphy, I don't even know if he's going to be fit to play. Martin Stackpool is injured, the goalkeeper, which is a blow, because his puck outs are kind of the reason he's starting. Like, there isn't much difference between him and John B. O'Halloran in terms of a shot stopper, but his puck outs are probably a bit superior than John B. O'Halloran's. Brian Murphy was saying how the space, he thinks the space will suit them and their forwards, but like it's also going to suit Antrim's forwards. So Kerry just need to tighten up back there, and if they can, like, they're well able to pick off their scores. They're probably better point scorers than Antrim are, like with the likes of Shane Nolan, Shane Conway, obviously, Michael O'Leary picked off two super points against Carlow to seal the game in Tralee there a couple of weeks ago. It's just that Antrim goal threat is what has Antrim where they are. Like, Antrim are averaging somewhere, I think, near 33 points a game. Kerry are more, 23 points. But it's because Antrim are banging in three or four goals nearly every other game. And Kerry aren't that bad at scoring goals either. Like, they got two against Carlow there the last day as well. But if they could keep a clean sheet, I think Kerry win it hands down. Like, but the chances of them keeping a clean sheet are fairly slim. So long as they stop Antrim rattling the back of the net too often, I think Kerry have a great chance. Mm. But it will be very tough, and I don't think their confidence will be knocked at all by the fact that they've lost to them already this year three times. I think if anything, that'll drive them on a small bit.
Well, best of luck to Kerry in that game against Antrim. Very finally, while I have you, what was the reaction like in Kerry to the footballers' defeat to Cork in the Munster semi-final?
Well, from our point of view, it was a lot of the Kerry hurlers are still in the championship and the footballers are out. And obviously then it kind of turned to, oh God, what are we going to watch now? Like, we were kind of looking forward to this to drag us through the winter lockdown. I suppose it was made, the blow was softened a small bit from Tipperary, got the win. But then again, we were like, God, what were Kerry doing? Like, just kick the ball in. But there's all sorts of stories floating around about the boys having the flu on the pitch and everything. But I don't know. I think they're making excuses for themselves now. But yeah, it was certainly a shock. I think Kerry were a bit overconfident going into that. But it has given the hurlers a great platform now to take over the limelight. And it would be great to have at least one piece of silverware coming home anyway, and we can all sit on our high horses then as the hurling people. And claim Kerry as a hurling county once and for all.
Well, best of luck. We will be shouting for Kerry on the big red bench tomorrow. Aidan, thanks for that, buddy, and we'll chat to you soon.
Cheers. I'll only get a picture for the Instagram.
That's Aidan Leahy there. I caught up with him on Zoom earlier on in the week. Great to talk to him, a Kerry hurling fanatic, and Big Red Bench's own as well. So it's going to be a big day for Kerry tomorrow in that John McDonagh Cup final, being held, of course, before the All-Ireland hurling final tomorrow afternoon in Croke Park. Scoreless between Manchester United and Man City. It's 61 minutes on the clock there, and penalty shout for Marcus Rashford. The referee did award a penalty, but VAR overturned it after it was discovered that Marcus Rashford was offside in the build-up. So it's remained scoreless there with 61 minutes on the clock. And speaking of the All-Ireland hurling final, going to hear from both Limerick and Waterford very, very quickly. Going to hear first from Waterford boss Liam Cahill.
Absolutely, it was one of our goals from the start that we would take it, obviously, match by match, but our goal was ultimately, like every inter-county hurler, is to reach the All-Ireland final and hopefully win it. So I didn't feel that it was an extravagant goal to be aiming for, so we felt it was realistic. So we're thrilled now that we're in a position now to try and go on and win the All-Ireland.
Yeah, it's been a busy couple of weeks with the games coming thick and fast, but do you think that's suited this bunch of players?
Yeah, it's always good, Gavin, to have momentum, and it's always good to have matches coming quick, because players, they like to train for a certain length of time, but they like matches after week, and I think we've steadily started to get that little bit better week by week. So really happy that we're gathering a little bit of momentum and that we've come through, three really hard games now, and looking forward to another one now in a week's time.
Yeah, the win against Kilkenny, Liam, psychologically, how big was that to get over a team like Kilkenny and, to win a big game in Croke Park as well, and albeit with no crowd there?
Yeah, look, it's always great to get over the line again, real quality opposition. That's what confidence is made of, and that's how you achieve momentum. So for us to get over the line against Kilkenny last weekend was big. There's no point in saying different. It was big, and it's a big part of having these players of mine in a good place for next Sunday.
That's Liam Cahill there, Waterford boss. Going to hear from Donal O'Grady now of Limerick. Starting off by talking about how important it is that all the panel members will be allowed to attend tomorrow's game.
Yeah, I've heard John say this on numerous occasions. Like, you know, it's very important. Like, we have 10 guys that could not come into Craw Park last weekend. And a lot of them are very close to breaking into that 26, you know, and it's a horses for courses situation, and there's been you know, a bit of a swing there in that panel of 26 that we pick, and there's some going in and out. So for them to be involved in match day, it's hard, you know. It does take the glass off a victory, or even today, the Munster final there, it's tough. But just to get them up there, especially the younger lads, maybe they aren't breaking into that 26 at the moment, to have them there for the game day experience is important as well.
And listen, just talking about going up a gear in performance levels, is goals maybe the one thing missing from this team now that you'd be looking for?
It possibly is one, you know, like, we should be taking maybe a couple of more goal chances. Yes, we seem to create a lot more than we have been against Galway. We could have had maybe two anyway, speaking personally. But yeah, it's something. But there's other things, like, we hit some terrible wides against Galway, and like, a lot of them were actually doing the hard work in creating that concentration and hitting that score. Didn't come off when we were up that 4 or 5 points, so that's something that we really need to nail for the next day, or else we'll pay the price against Watford.
Now listen, finally, just for me, have the hurlers been left in just a bit of an awkward situation with regards to yesterday, with the ladies having to move from the All-Ireland semi-final? Could that have been avoided, that situation?
To be honest, from the management's perspective and players, it's something really that was outside of our control. All we had to do was get over in our semi-final, and the pitch was there. I think, to be honest, there's a lot made of it. I can understand the frustrations of Cork having to go to Parnell Park, but look, it's done and dusted, and unfortunately it's something that we didn't have any control over.
Yes, Donal O'Grady there speaking ahead of tomorrow's All-Ireland final. Interesting to hear his thoughts as well on the ladies football issue as well. Of course, the game was originally set for the Gaelic Grounds and then moved after Limerick needed it for training, so it was interesting to hear his thoughts there on that. But we're pretty much out of time on the show this evening. Thanks very much indeed for tuning our way. Delighted you would spend your evening in our company. Still scoreless between Manchester United and Manchester City, 67 minutes on the clock there at Old Trafford, and Everton and Chelsea is the late kickoff, 8 o'clock the start time for that one, and Kilkenny and Galway getting ready to go head to head in the Camogie final. Should be an absolute cracker in a couple of minutes, and we heard from Valerie earlier on previewing the game, and we'll have reaction from that on the Big Red Bench tomorrow from 6. Also going to talk to minor football boss Bobby O'Dwyer on the show tomorrow as well, as they get ready for their clash with Kerry on Tuesday night down in Tralee. So that'll be on tomorrow evening's show. Alright, our Supermax competition winner is Avril Rowe from Carrigaline. Congratulations, Avril. She told us that Waterford and Limerick are playing in the All-Ireland Hurling Final tomorrow, which is quite correct. We'll have another Supermax voucher to give away on tomorrow evening's show, but thanks to our friends at supermax.ie, so be sure and tune in for tomorrow evening's show. Alright, Stevie's up next with Black on Red. 3 hours of the best music coming your way right here on Cork's Red FM. Our block party, I should say, coming up the next 3 hours here on Red FM. We're back tomorrow from 6 p.m. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday evening, folks, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow at 6.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.